Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we're continuing with the story of Lord Chaitanya praising Madhavendra Puri. If we were reading this book on our own, we'd read the story in 10 minutes. But then having it in class, it maybe takes 10 days. There's actually so much here for us to consider. This is verse 179 from chapter 4 of Madhya Lila. Lord Chaitanya, to create the atmosphere, if we can be a little imaginative, we can think now that we've all left, of course we don't want to think like that, we've left Radhakund and we've gone to Raimuna. Of course Raimuna is also Holy Dham. Sometimes Raimuna is referred to as Vrindavan also. If you've been to Raimuna in Orissa, it's a pastoral area, it's out in the country. Lots of green fields everywhere, and lots of rivers and lakes. It's very green. Of course it can't compare to Vrindavan. But Gopinath is staying there, and wherever Gopinath is, Radharani is there. And Tulsi is there, and wherever Tulsi is, that's Vrindavan. So in one sense, it's also Vrindavan and Raimuna, and now Radha and Krishna are there as Mahaprabhu. And Dvaitacharya says, Mora Mana Vrindavan Habe. Wherever you are, your mind is always in Vrindavan. So now we're in Raimuna, we're sitting with Lord Chaitanya, and Nityananda is there, Lord Chaitanya, and some other devotees. And Lord Chaitanya is very happily, blissfully narrating the glories of his Param Guru, Madhavendra Puri, who is the Guru of Ishwara Puri. And then we're in the middle of the story. Paramaviraktamoni sarvacha udasin gramyavarta baye dvitya sangahina. Mahaprabhu continued, Sri Madhavendra Puri always used to live alone. He was completely renounced and was always very silent. Paramavirakta. He was totally renounced or unattached. Moni, he was silent. He was not interested in anything material. And for fear of talking about mundane things, he always lived without a companion. Gramyavarta baye dvitya sangahina. So he was afraid of gramyavarta, gramya katha, village talks. He was afraid of that. So he lived alone. Nirjan bhajan. That's what happens as soon as two people come together. If they're not really Krishna conscious, and they usually talk about the conscious world. If they're Krishna conscious, then they talk about Krishna. But in the absence of Krishna, then you're conscious, so you talk about the conscious world. The gram, the village, family, friends, weather, health, body, work, school. All irrelevant, useless topics that do not promote the cause of the soul. So he was careful about that. So he lived alone. Lord Chaitanya is glorifying his behavior. Hena jana gopalera agyam ritapan sahasra akroshasi bule chandan magena. After receiving the transcendental orders of Gopal, this great personality, Madhavendra Puri, traveled thousands of miles just to collect sandalwood by begging. Sahasra Krosha. Because a Krosha is 2 miles. And Sahasra means thousands of miles he walked. Agya Amrita, the nectarine order. A nectarine order. Gopalera Agya Agyamrita. Agyamrita. Agya Amrita. It's a very interesting term. Agya Amrit. The order was nectarian. Usually we think if someone tells us, sit, eat chapan bhog. You sit down, eat these 56 preparations. Eat all this mahaprasadam. This is for you. Then we'll think, yes, this is a nectarian order. This is a very nectarine order, but if we get an order to do some difficult service, then we think, oh, this order is like poison. This is Vishamrit. This is Vish, Agya Vish. Very poisonous order. Go and distribute books here, go and collect money here, go do this, go do that. We may think this is very poisonous. But this is a very hard thing. The Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, go collect sandalwood. And the nearest place where he could get sandalwood is Jagannath Puri, which is thousands of miles away from Vrindavan. It's not an easy order. But Lord Chaitanya is describing that when he received that order, it was Sri Gopal Nathji, on top of Govardhan, he gave this order. And it was considered to be nectarian. It was nectar. Oh, wonderful, you give me this order. I'm just bathing in nectar to receive this order. Boke rahi tabuana magina nakai. Hena jana chandan bara wahi lana jai. Although Madhavendra Puri was hungry, he would not beg food to eat. This renounced person carried a load of sandalwood for the sake of Sri Gopal. So even though he was hungry, he wouldn't beg any food. Just depended on the Lord. Maneka chandanatola visheka karpur gopale paraiba e ananda prachur. Without considering his personal comforts, Madhavendra Puri carried 82 pounds, 40 kilos of sandalwood, and 8 ounces of camphor to smear on the body of Gopal Nathji. This transcendental pleasure was sufficient for him. So that's all he wanted to. He was happy to carry 40 kilos of sandalwood, which is not, it's quite a heavy load. And not just carry it 5 feet. He's going to carry it a few thousand miles back to Vrindavan. No coolie, no porter, no luggage rack, no luggage carrier, no train, no bus, no car, no bicycle. He's going to carry it on his back. Labor of love, spiritual love, Krishna Prem. Hutkalera dhani rakke chandana dakina tahane daila racha pachade kana. Since there were restrictions against taking sandalwood out of Orissa, the toll officials confiscated the stock. But Madhavendra Puri showed him the release papers given by the government and consequently escaped difficulties. Because all the chandan that was grown in Orissa was meant for Jagannath. It was grown there for the service of Jagannath's chandan yatra. Every year, for 21 days in the summertime, they apply so much chandan to Jagannath. So no one can take that chandan out of Orissa because it's the Lord's chandan. Unless they get special permission from the king who's also in charge of the deity supplies. So he gave a letter, all right, you can take. Mlechade shadura patta jagati apar. Ke mate chandan niva nahaye vichar. Madhavendra Puri was not at all anxious during the long journey to Vrindavan through the provinces governed by the Muslims and filled with unlimited numbers of watchmen. So he wasn't anxious. He had this Gopal Agyamrita, he had this nectarine order of Gopal on his head, and he wasn't really worried about the watchmen. He was simply executing the order of the Lord. And in carrying that order, he felt fearless. He felt protected. He felt encouraged. He felt enthused. He got encouragement, determination, enthusiasm, and fearlessness. All of that came from the order that Gopal gave him. So remembering that order and surrendering to that order, he dutifully carried it out without any fear or hesitation. Sangayeka vatanai gati dana dite tarapi utsaha bara chandan lana jaite. Although Madhavendra Puri didn't have one penny with him, he was not afraid to pass by the toll officers. His only enjoyment was in carrying the load of sandalwood to Vrindavan for Gopal. And then next verse. This is the result of natural This is the natural result of intense love of God. The devotee does not consider personal inconveniences or impediments. In all circumstances, he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nija dukkha vigna. Dukkha vigna. Vigna means impediments, setbacks, obstacles. Dukkha means unhappiness, sadness, inconvenience. This is the sobhav, sobhavachar, praghada prema. This very concentrated, deep, intense prema of a devotee, it exhibits, a devotee having this prema exhibits a particular nature, sobhav, vichar. Because of his personal mentality and nature, then he considers things in a different way. He considers everything in a transcendental way. He looks at everything spiritually. But this is my service. This is my joy. My joy is in doing this service. My happiness is in doing this service. Nija dukkha vignan, whatever inconvenience, whatever unhappiness, if I become unhappy, or it's inconvenient, or it's difficult, I don't care. Let it come. Let all these things come to me. It doesn't matter to me. This is my service to Gopal, and this is the primary purpose of my life, is to carry out this service. And in carrying out this service, I will find my pleasure. I'll find my happiness here. Prabhupada has rather long purport. We can read it a little bit. It is natural for those who have developed intense love for Krishna not to care for personal inconvenience and impediments. Such devotees are simply determined to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative, the spiritual master. In all circumstances, even amidst the greatest dangers, they undeviatingly carry on with the greatest determination. So this is, Prabhupada is an example of this in his own life. No matter how many obstacles, he kept pushing on and pushing on and pushing on. D&D, undeviating and determination. No unswerving action, unswerving service. No break, no stop. Oh, I'm sick, I have to stop. Oh, I have a headache, I have to stop. Oh, and look at Prabhupada, he had heart attacks and he didn't stop. Two heart attacks on the ship. Sometimes people have come to this ashram, in the middle of the night they throw up and they say, "Oh, Maharaj, I'm sick. Immediately call a taxi and take me to Apollo Hospital." It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Bang on the door. "Maharaj, wake up." I said, "What happened?" "Oh, my stomach hurts. I have so much pain. I threw up." I said, "Just relax. I'll make some lemon water with some black salt. And just take that and you'll be all right." So I heated up some water with some lemon juice and some little black salt. And a little camphor. And cool his stomach. And he took that and then he said, "Oh, I feel better." I said, "Okay, go to sleep." And then he said, first one kind of crazy actually. Get me out of here, I can't take it, I'm dying, this, that, the other thing. Call a taxi. I said, "It's 1 o'clock in the morning, everyone's sleeping. This is not New York City. It's not Times Square. I mean, there's only one taxi in all Radhakund. And the guy's sleeping." So he was a little bit of difficulty and became so disturbed. Wants to run away. But the devotee doesn't run away. No matter what happens to him, he keeps on pushing on with his service. Because he accepts that any obstacles, any vignan, any obstacles or any dukkha, any unhappiness, it's simply, he said, "Okay, this is Krishna, this is your test. You're just testing me. You're testing my sincerity of purpose. You're testing my mettle," as they say. Testing my mettle. Mettle. How much I am determined. Oh, Krishna, these things come and we say, "Oh Krishna, you're testing my love. You don't think I have the love? You don't think I have enough love in me to have the stamina to carry out the order you've given me? You think I'm going to quit? You think I'm going to quit? You think I'm going to give up? No, no, you watch me now. Just watch me, Krishna. You're testing me, huh? You're testing me? You think I'm going to quit and be a quitter? No, no, you watch." I say in business, they say when the going gets tough, the tough get going. They have all these little phrases. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So you may, Actually, opposition increases your strength. Opposition increases determination. For example, you're distributing books, because we had some experience for 6 years doing that. You're distributing books and many unfavorable elements appear. The weather may be bad. It's cold, snowing, whatever, rain. And you're outside, and you would like to be inside. And then the people are also in opposition, the Gnostics and Parshandis and the police. And then so many threats, so many dangers, so many impediments. And then you might sit down sometimes and say, oh, this is really too much. This is really difficult. And then you just chant a round or two of japa, read a little nectar devotion. Say, all right, Krishna, I know you're testing me. You want to test me. Okay, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to distribute Prabhupada's books. I'm going to do this, no matter what anybody says. You know, you can count on me. I'm not going to run away with my tail between my legs. Then you get up there and say, Krishna, Krishna. And then you just get renewed energy and you go out with second wind, and all of a sudden, the first 3 or 4 hours when you're out distributing books, and everyone says, get out of here. You can't sell one book. You can't meet one person. You can't stop one person. No one wants to talk to you. Everyone's in a hurry. Push you out of the way, get lost. I'll call the police. I'll have you arrested, this, that, so many things. And then all of a sudden, after you break through that 3 hours, then you meet this nice guy and that guy and this guy and this guy. And then pretty soon at the end of the day, oh, Krishna, very good. So Prabhupada used to say, what's a glorious victory without a glorious fight? So the most glorious victory is to attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. This is the victory that awaits the fighter, the devotional fighter, the devotional boxer. That we have to fight many rounds. We have to go in the ring and box many rounds with Maya. Sometimes you get knocked out and then you come back. Sometimes you're the heavyweight champion. Then you get knocked out. And then someone else becomes a champion. Then you have to go and practice and you go into training. And you build up your muscles and you increase your speed and ability. Then there's a rematch. Next year, a rematch. And then you come again you were the former champ and now you're facing the champ. And then you knock him down and you become the champ. So Maya is our enemy. So she's always trying to knock us off. So we have to stay in shape and keep in training, always keep in training, stay in shape so that we can fight vigorously against Maya. And the depth of our love for Krishna will be seen in the trying times. When the trying times come, then we can measure and weigh the depth of our love. We may be fly-by-night bhaktas. Fly-by-night. Or we can say fair-weather devotees. And the sun is shining and it's nice, okay, Hare Krishna. When it starts raining and the wind's blowing and snow falling, oh, forget about Krishna. Fair-weather friends. So Krishna wants to see, because ultimately Krishna wants to give himself completely to the devotee. But he doesn't give himself easily or cheaply. And you can't even get into a good school without passing so many tests. And even once you get into a good school, if you pass the entrance examinations and gain admission to a very good school, then you have to keep performing and to stay there. If you don't keep performing, then you can't stay there. If you fail a few tests, then you're out. Even though you worked so hard and passed so many examinations and overcame so many hurdles to get admitted. So now you're admitted to Oxford or Harvard and you're so happy and elated. And now the tests again start. Midterms, finals, papers. And if you fail on any of those, again, you're back to square one because you're kicked out. You're no more admitted. You're not admitted. You're not even in the school. So but the fruit of passing all those examinations is you get your PhD and get your diploma and degree. There's also fruit waiting for us if we get admitted. Admission to the College of Bhakti means diksha. So diksha is our admission. It's called initiation, beginning, admittance. Admittance into the school of bhakti is diksha. So now we're admitted into the school of bhakti, initiation. It's begun. We've begun our education, begun our service. But still more tests will come. It's not over. Testing and testing and testing. And even their summer school also. There's no vacation. This school goes on 12 months a year. So, in all circumstances, even in the greatest dangers, the devotees undeviatingly carry on with the greatest determination. This definitely proves the intense love of the servitor. So our steadfastness, our staunchness, and our determination proves the depth of our love, which I was saying. This definitely proves the intense love of the devotee or the servitor. It is stated in 10.14.8 in Brahma Vandanam, Tate nukampam shushimikshamano punjana evatmana kritam vipakam ridvagva pupir viridan namaste jiveta yomuktipade sadayavak. Verse by Brahma, that all difficulties, kritam vipakam, due to our bad actions in this and previous life, we have to suffer mentally. We have mental disturbance and physical infirmity and physical problems. We have to tolerate all that and go on serving Krishna. Rid vag vapu bir. Vapu, our body, our rid, our heart. And namaste, our prayers. And words are always, we should continually offer to Krishna and tolerate all of the inconveniences caused by our own karmas. And what happens then? Jivaita yo mukti padesa dayabak. Dayabak means inheritance, treasure, wealth. Payola. You get the inheritance. Dayabhak means that jiveta yomukti, that you get muktipad. You go to the muktipad, the place where Mukunda's feet are walking. The place where Mukunda's feet are walking is Vaikuntha. You can find the pad, the feet of Mukunda Krishna in the spiritual world. Jiveta yomuktipade sadayabhak. You will attain the pad, that place where Mukunda lives. You will attain liberation simply by tolerating the inconveniences of our own bad karmas and continuing to serve Krishna without break and without deviation and without cessation. Steady as she goes, slow and steady wins the race. So this is the adage for bhakti sadhana also. Nishta, nishchita bhakti. Nishta becomes ruchi, ruchi becomes a sakti becomes bhava, bhava mellows and matures into the depths of prem, the richness of prem, the sweetness of love for Krishna. Those who seriously desire to get free from the clutches of material existence, who have developed intense love for Krishna, are worthy candidates for going back home, back to Godhead. An intense lover of Krishna does not care for any number of material discomforts, scarcity, impediments, or unhappiness. It's quite a lot of four negative things here. If one has intense love for Krishna, then there's four things he doesn't care about. He doesn't care about material discomforts, food or lack of food, or place to sleep or live or clothing. Scarcity of money, food, friends, support, impediments or unhappiness. It is said that when one sees apparent unhappiness or distress in a perfect Vaishnava, it is not at all unhappiness for him. Rather, it is transcendental bliss. In this regard, in the 1965, some people from the newspaper of the East Village, very popular newspaper called EVO, East Village Voice, or whatever, EVV, East Village Voice. And they came and interviewed Prabhupada, and they took his picture and put it in the newspaper. And Prabhupada had a very sober visage, his countenance. His face was very sober and looked very sad. Externally, Prabhupada's face looked, what a materialist would say, looked very sad-faced, very serious, maybe downcast, or very grave. And that gravity was interpreted as being sadness or unhappiness. So people would see that picture and they would come to the temple on 2nd Avenue. They said, "We saw your Swamiji's picture." And there was some title under the article. It says, "Swami leads the flock." Swami leads the flock. Flock means like a group of birds, I think. Flying birds, flock of birds. Swami leads the flock in the chant or something. And then Prabhupada was walking through the park and chanting and people were following. So the people would come and see the picture and they say, "You're Swamiji, I saw his picture in the East Village Other." Oh, that was, it was called East Village, EVO, East Village Other. Or Village Voice, maybe, I don't know. I think there was two things. I think there was Village Voice and East Village Other. And we saw his picture, he looked so sad, so unhappy. So why is that? And then someone asked Prabhupada, and the same thing he's saying in the purport, he said, "If you may see that I'm looking, you see," and I think they asked Prabhupada actually, "Oh, Swamiji, you look so sad. You see I'm looking so sad externally, but actually I'm relishing transcendental bliss within my heart. I'm not going around showing a plastic smile, showing a Barbie doll smile to everybody, Barbie doll and Ken, or whatever, some kind of children's doll with some molded smile on the plastic face of the doll. And eyelids that go up and down 100 times a second. And big baby blue eyes." We've seen these Indian people come here with their children on the weekends, on Sunday. And all the children are brown and black color. And they have all these white dolls, Barbie dolls. So I suppose in their next life they'll be born in Barbie land. As they're all saying, "Oh, look at this little white girl with blue eyes. Our eyes are black and brown, and our skin is black and brown." At any rate, so this is Prabhupada's looking so unhappy, but inside he's relishing transcendental bliss. In the Shikshastakam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also instructed, Ashlishyava Padaratam Panashtamam. The intense lover of Krishna is never deviated from his service, despite all difficulties and impediments brought before him. So Prabhupada has said the same thing about five times in this paragraph. So it's an important point, so he's repeating it. He's basically very much concerned with presenting this two words of this Bengali verse of Lord Chaitanya. Pragada prema, intense prema. And Prabhupada uses this phrase, the intense lover of God. The intense lover of God. He has all this staunchness and steadfastness because of the depth of his love. He uses the phrase many times. If you've developed intense love for Krishna, if you're an intense lover of Krishna, intense. So that's tivreena bhakti yogena kama sarvakama va moksha kama udaviti tivreena bhakti yogena yajaitas purushamparam. In second canto of Bhagavatam there's the verse tivreena bhakti yogena, tivreena. Like our godbrother, he has his flashlight. And you hit one button and it comes white flashlight torch. And hit another button and it comes laser beam. A red laser beam. It's a very concentrated laser beam. Very concentrated beam of red light, maybe some other different colors also, blue or whatever. It's very concentrated laser, and that's just a child's type thing, layman's use. But they also have laser saws and laser saws which can saw through steel, and very fastly. They concentrate the light so much they can cut steel with the laser. So this is the word tivrena means like this. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivra. Tivra means concentrated like a laser beam. Not going to the right or to the left. Not becoming weak or getting dim. Just steady, constant beam of light. Constant practice of devotion. This is intensity. So we are meant to ultimately become intense lovers of God. We too should become intense lovers of God. And if we become intense lovers of God, then there's four things we don't care about. material discomforts, scarcity, impediments, or unhappiness. But now we're very much worried about these things. Hey, I don't have any money. I have a scarcity of funds here. I don't have any money, and I'm pretty uncomfortable in my situation. These people I'm with are making me uncomfortable. Or this wife is making me uncomfortable, or this husband, or whatever. And so I'm feeling material discomfort. And I feel so many impediments. I try to do things, and I get frustrated, and I get defeated, and I become unsuccessful in my attempts. So many impediments. And when all these things combine together, they make me very unhappy. So I'm facing these four problems, material problems. Scarcity, material discomforts, and then impediments and unhappiness. So this is what everyone's facing materially. And they deal with it in different ways by trying to overcome these problems or resort. But if they're passionate, they try to overcome them. And if they're tamasic, then they try to wash them away or forget about them by intoxication. But a devotee tries to transcend them. Someone who's sattvic, he tries to transcend all of it. He tries to transcend them by being in the world, being, as Jesus said, be in the world but not of the world. So he's in the world, but he's immersing, his body is in this world, but he has immersed his heart and his mind and his interest in the interest of the Lord, Krishna Artha. It's called Krishna Artha, the interest of Krishna. So he's so much busy with serving Krishna and caring for the needs of Krishna and attending to the desires and fulfilling the desires of Krishna, which Krishna has for him, that he doesn't really care. He doesn't really care. He's not really so much concerned or caring about these four material things, material discomfort, scarcity, and unhappiness and impediments. Ah, let them come, okay. Today's scarcity, tomorrow extra, excess. Today's scarcity, tomorrow excess. Today comfortable, tomorrow uncomfortable. Today smooth sailing, tomorrow bumpy road. Today happy, tomorrow unhappy. Matra sparshasta konteya shitoshna shukadav kadav. Agamal payano nichastam tatikshasavarta. Tatikshva krunika, tolerance, tolerance. Okay, tolerate. Tolerate and go on. Serve, serve, serve. Try to love Krishna more and more. Be so much concerned with Krishna that we don't have any time to concern ourselves with, be concerned about ourselves. If we're worried about someone else, then we have no time to worry about ourselves. If all of our time is spent in worrying about someone else or caring for someone else, then there's no time to care about, to worry about ourselves or care for ourselves. And somehow it will go on. We will be cared for by our destiny, by the arrangement of the devas. Karmano devanai chayna jantur deva patiye. The arrangement of our karmas and the demigods, everything will go on. Whatever food we're meant to get, we'll get. Whatever happiness is meant to come our way, it will come. No one prays for distress, but distress comes. No one sits down at the end of the day, oh God, please have someone rip off my car. Please have someone bang into my car. Please make sure when I wake up tomorrow, there's no rear view mirrors on my car. Tonight, let somebody rip them off. And please, my Lord, please, someone break into my apartment tonight and rob me. No one prays for distress. Everyone's praying, oh God, make me happy, give me daily bread, give me good this, that, the other thing. But somehow all so much distress comes. So whether you pray or you don't pray, you're going to get happiness or distress. Better we act in such a way to improve the situation by engaging in bhakti. So, next verse here. Etara gara prema loke dikaite gopal tanayagya dila chandana anite. Madhavendra Puri is going on to glorify his param guru, Madhavendra Puri, and Raimuna. And he's, Lord Chaitanya said, Sri Gopal Nachi wanted to show the world how intensely Madhavendra Puri loved Krishna. Therefore, he asked him to go to Nilachala to fetch sandalwood and camphor. Bahu parishrami chandan remuna anila ananda badila mane dukkana ganila. With great trouble and after much labor, Madhavendra Puri brought 40 kilos of sandalwood to Remuna. However, he was still very pleased. He discounted all the difficulties. Parikshakarita Gopal Kaila Agyadan Parikshakariya Sheshe Haila Dayavan Dhoyavan, Dhoyavan, one who possesses mercy, Dhoyavan. To test the intense love of Madhavendra Puri, Sri Gopal Nathji, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ordered him to bring sandalwood from Nilachala to Govardhan. And when Madhavendra Puri passed the examination, the Lord became very merciful to him. So, he was supposed to bring this sandalwood all the way from thousands, Sahasra Krosha, thousands of kilometers from Puri to Govardhan. That was the order of the Lord, Gopal Agya, Gopal Agyamrita, the nectarine order of the Lord. So the Lord was testing, will you carry out the order? Will you give up halfway? Will you quit without trying? Usually we defeat ourselves before we try. We get an order to do something from Guru or Krishna or from Super Soul, inspired in the heart by reading Shastra, we get inspired to carry out some service or order, or externally from Guru. And then we say, oh, it's so difficult, I can't do that, it's too hard, oh, this, that. So we defeat ourselves before we even try. We don't even try. But he tried and he was very successful and he was tested. The Lord was testing. So then he was happy. He said, all right, you carried it. You only carried it 1/5 of the way. You only carried it hardly 1/5 of the way. You haven't even gotten out of Orissa yet. You have to cross over through Orissa, which is quite big. Then you have to cross Bihar. Then you have to cross UP and you have to come to Western UP to Govardhan, to where I'm standing on top of Govardhan. And give me this chandan. Gopal is asking. But you've only walked a few kilometers north of Puri where you procured the sandalwood, and I'm saying, okay, fine, you passed the test. This is how clever, this is Vidagdha Krishna, how witty and clever and intelligent he is. The play of love is very clever. The play of love moves like a snake, they say. The loving dealings, the snake doesn't go straight. He contracts his body that moves in a zigzag way. So the loving dealings of the Lord and His devotee, between the Lord and His devotees, they move in a zigzag way. They don't move straight, especially Krishna. So oftentimes we're given a very big order. We think, oh, this is a very big order. How will I carry it out? The Guru is just trying to test your response to that big order. Will you buckle under the order and say, forget it, I can't do it? Or you say, yes, yes, I'll try. I'll try my best. I will do it. Yes, by your mercy and by my prayers and by the mercy of Krishna, it will be done. By mercy of Guru and Gauranga. Let me try. With all my enthusiasm, all my sincerity, all my determination, endeavor, and hard work, let me try my best to carry out this order. And then you're trying, and all of a sudden Krishna says, okay, that's good, thank you. Oh, but I hadn't finished. Oh, that's okay. I'm happy. We've often seen this in the course of our own lives in devotional service. You have to take on some seemingly very burdensome service, and you don't know when the end will be. You think it'll go on forever. We were given one service one time by a GVC, and I said, when I got the service, I said, how long do I have to do this service? He said, let's see, I can't say, maybe 1 year, 10 years, 5 years. I was thinking, Hare Krishna, it's a difficult service. Anyway, all right. So then I surrendered, at least on one level, surrendered to try to do the service. And I was thinking, this is going to be really hard. But anyway, Hare Krishna, let's try. So when I finally, when my mind finally submitted to the idea that we may in fact have to do this service for a long time, maybe 10 years or a whole life or whatever, when I finally got over the mental block and the emotional upheavals of embracing and accepting this service, then it became a little easier. I said, okay, Krishna, all right, I'm ready. I give up. I'm not going to fight anymore. Somehow you put me in this position where I have to render the service, and this is what you want, this is what Prabhupada wants. Okay, daso smi, das, das, no das. I won't resist anymore. I was physically here, but mentally not here. And I was mentally here, but heartily not here. But now I'm physically here for you to do this service. I'm mentally here for you to do this service, and I am heartily here for you to do So now you have everything, lock, stock, and barrel. Lock, stock, and barrel. You have everything. You've got me. Head to tail. I'm not holding back anything. I gave you my body, but I held back my mind. And I gave you my mind, but I held back my heart. Krishna, now I'm giving you my mind, heart, body, everything. Manasadeha yokichimur. Manasadeha yokichimur. Arpilan Nandakishore. So that's called surrender. So then we surrendered, and the service went on for some time, and then we were told by our authority, okay, that's good. Now that's very nice, you've done the service. Now you can go to India or whatever. I said, Hare Krishna. Jai Ho, liberation. So Krishna's testing. He often tests us in different ways. And he wants to bring us to a certain point of realization in our relationship with him. A certain point of deepen our dependence on Krishna, deepen our love for Krishna, deepen our attachment to Krishna. He maneuvers us like a piece on a chessboard, like a pawn on a chessboard. He moves us right, left, forward, back. And sometimes he checkmates us, and restricts our movement. We're stuck. We can't move one way or the other. It's his game. Bhakti is his game, and we're the pawns in his game. He's the player, and we're the played. He's the predominator, and we're the predominated. He's the Purusha, and we're the Prakriti. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Vritya. There is one Ishvara Krishna, and everyone else is his servant. Someday, somehow, somewhere, we have to realize that. And once we realize that we are nothing but Jivara Swarupaya Krishna or Nityadas, we actually realize, we say, ah, Jivara Krishna. We say all this. Every bhakti learns this verse within 5 days. Jivara Swarupaya Krishna or Nityadas. But when we realize that my sarup, my eternal form, my eternal sabab, my eternal nature, I am nothing. I am nothing more, nothing less. Nothing bigger, nothing smaller, nothing greater, nothing less than Krishna's servant. And the only thing I have to do is serve Krishna. And when we realize that, then we're out of here. We're liberated. The door is open. The cell is broken. The coverings are cut. And the bondage is removed. But that may take a few lifetimes. Easier said than done. I'm simply speaking dry philosophy here, no realization. I'm just reminding us all, including myself, of the ultimate principles which we should strive for. Lord Chaitanya goes on glorifying and praising Madhavendra Puri in verse 190. Hey bhakti bhakta priya Krishna vyavahar mujite yama sabar nahi adhikar. Such behavior exhibited in loving service between the devotee and the devotee's lovable object, Sri Krishna, is transcendental. Bhakta Priya Krishna. Bhakti Bhakta Priya Krishna. It is not possible for a common man to understand. Common men do not even have the capacity. As they say, it takes one to know one. Eta Bali Pari Prabhu Tanra Krita Shlok Jay Shlok Chandra Jagat Karyacha Alok. After saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri. That verse is just like the moon. It has spread illumination all over the world. Because in this verse he's showing that how he's the Kalpavriksha. It's described in the biographies of Madhavendra Puri, where they describe his life. That he, I think also maybe in this book he's described that way. He's a Kalpavriksha of Gauranga, of the Braja Prem, or Vishuddha Braja Prem that Lord Chaitanya came to distribute. And that Kalpavriksha tree of that Prema is Madhavendra Puri, and it produced so many fruits. The fruits on his tree of Braja Prem, one fruit was Ishvara Puri, and Lord Chaitanya, of course, has also received that fruit and planted a tree of Braja Prem, and so many hundreds of fruits have been manifested on that tree, and Lord Chaitanya proclaimed, oh, so many, I'm a gardener, and my tree has so many fruits, but I alone am incapable of distributing all these fruits. So I order you all to help me initially ordered the six Goswamis, please take these fruits from my tree, the Chaitanya tree of Krishna Prem, and distribute them all around the world. So this is what the realized devotees in the Gaudiya Sangha, they're doing that. They're distributing the fruits of Lord Chaitanya's Prem, which is Radha Govinda Prem, all around the world. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gorachose Nama. Mahaprabhu is glorified because he's freely distributing Krishna Prem directly himself when he was here and through the agency of his representatives in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. All the Premi Bhaktas and advanced devotees, they're all distributing this phal from the tree of Lord Chaitanya. So this is the verse which sprouted and grew into a vast tree of Krishna Prem, and the type of prem that Lord Chaitanya is distributing to the conditioned souls, this is called this viraha prem, Govinda virahiname, this intense mode of hankering, searching for Krishna. One great devotee was asked, "What mood should we chant the Hare Krishna mantra?" And he actually laughed at the question. And he said, "In what mood? It should be a mood of service, a mood of service. A mood. We should chant with a mood of service, a serving mood, backed by feelings of self-abnegation and searching for Krishna." Krishna Kahan, where is Krishna? Questing for Krishna. Atato Brahma Jignasa. Of course, this is Vedanta Sutra. Now is the time to inquire about the truth. But this Brahma, Atato Brahma Jignasa, inquiry. This Brahma is the Para Brahman, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Brajendra Nandan, Shamsundar, Damodar, Madhav. We should be questing for him, searching for him. So these two qualities should be in our chanting. A mood of service backed by self-abnegation, in other words, detachment, giving up any desires or plans to work in this world or remain in this world or do mundane activities in this world. And at the same time, searching, questing, where is Krishna? Looking for Krishna. Where is Krishna? While chanting, where is Krishna? Krishna, where are you? Where are you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is all separation, viparlamba, this purvarag. Before we haven't actually met Krishna directly. We've heard about him, we've read about him, we've seen his form and paintings and murtis, we've met his devotees, and we heard the glories of his activities, his pastimes, and we've chanted his name and sung his glories in Sankirtan. We have not met him directly. We're not directly associating with him. Nevertheless, our attraction and our love is growing for him. It's prior, our love, our attachment before meeting is called prior love, prior attachment, purva rag. So this verse is kind of the kalpavriksha of all these moods and ideas are coming from this verse spoken by Madhavendra Puri. And he gives some, of course there's a little bit of lead up to this because it's quite a significant verse. So he said this verse. After saying this, says Etabali Pari Prabhu Tanra Krita Shlok, Jay Shloka Chandre Jagat Karyache Alok. Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri, and this verse is like the moon. Jay Shloka Chandra, and this verse has spread illumination all over the universe. Gashite gashite jache mala jajasar ganda bhare tache e shlokera vichar. Continuous rubbing increases the aroma of Malayan sandalwood. If you have a sandalwood, you have a stick. If you rub it on the stone, then so much aroma comes out. If you just have some good quality sandalwood, you can actually smell it. If it's really sandalwood. But then you rub it, then more smell comes. Similarly, consideration, shlok vichar, shlokera vichar, consideration or meditating or trying to understand or comment on this verse, increases one's understanding of its importance. As the fragrance of chandan increases as you grind it on a stone, the fragrance of sandalwood enhances, So the fragrance, or rather the meaning of this verse increases as you meditate on it, as you discuss it, as you hear it, memorize it. And these are all statements by Krishna's Kaviraj. Ratna gana madhya yache koshtubha mani rasa kavya madhya yache e shloka gani. As a Koshtubha mani is considered, that's the gem that Krishna wears around his neck, is considered the most precious of valuable stones. This verse is similarly considered the best of poems dealing with the mellows of devotional service. Rasa kavya. Kavya means poetry. Rasa. Rasa means divine rapture or mellows of love or intimate devotion. Rasa kavya madhye teche eshlokagani. This verse counts, like Sakigan, the group or the counting. This verse counts as one of the best. This is one of the best verses. Eshloka kahiyachena rada takorani tanra kripaya spuri jache madhavendravani. So now, so much glorification of this verse. Quite an introduction to one verse. Actually, Krishna's Kaviraj says, this verse was spoken not by Madhavendra Puri. This verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani, Radha Thakurani, herself. And by her mercy, it was manifest from the mouth of Madhavendra Puri. Spurti means manifest. Kripaya spuryachi. Kripa spurti, Madhavendra Puri Vani. So this is a very interesting point. That Radharani, if she's very kind towards some devotee, then she can manifest in his words. Radharani Thakurani can manifest in the words of a pure devotee when he speaks or when he writes. When you read Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada called these purports his Bhakti Vedanta, devotional ecstasies. What does devotional ecstasies mean? It means Ladini Shakti. Bhakti, devotion is bhakti, and ecstasy is Ladini. Ladini is the ecstatic principle. And Ladini personified is Radharani. So Prabhupada is saying that these verses, that when I have written these verses, actually Krishna has written these verses. Krishna has written the verses of my commentaries. They're coming through me. So that actually means Radharani. When he says these purports, these Bhaktivedanta purports, are actually my personal devotional ecstasies. That means his words are expressions of Ladini Shakti. These words are expressions of Radharani. Just like Madhavendra Puri didn't speak this famous shloka about separation from Krishna and Mathura, but actually Radharani spoke it. And being pleased with her pure devotee, Madhavendra Puri, Radharani entered into his mouth, because Radharani's expansion is Divya Saraswati. Divya Saraswati is the wife of Narayan. So either Radharani directly, here Krishna's Kaviraj is saying Radharani directly. Radha Thakurani Kripa Madhavendra Puri Vani. So by the mercy of Radharani, the words of Madhavendra became the words of Radharani. The prayer of Madhavendra Puri is actually the prayer of Radharani. The prayer that the Rasa Kavya that he spoke, this rasa-filled poem, because his prayer or shloka is actually poetic, this rasa-filled poem that Madhavendra Puri uttered at the time of his death was originally spoken 5,000 years ago by Srimati Radharani, Radha Thakurani, when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura on Akura's chariot, and how much separation Radharani was suffering from at that moment. Actually, this verse was spoken by Radharani herself. Only by her mercy was manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri. Well, this is very nice. I like this. Radharani Thakurani Kripaya Madhavendra Puri Vani. So Prabhupada, by Radharani's mercy, Prabhupada manifested the Bhaktivedanta purports by the mercy of Radharani. Radharani Thakurani Kripaya Bhaktivedanta Vani. It's the same, you can substitute. And therefore, when we read these purports in Srila Prabhupada's books, we feel very ecstatic. We feel very much enthused, and very much encouraged in devotion. Because devotion is all about Radharani. Because what is bhakti? What is devotion? Devotion is a combination of Radharani and Krishna, Samvit and Ladini. Devotion is Radha and Krishna. This devotion is bhakti. And what is bhakti? Samvit Shakti. Samvit Shakti is Vasudeva Krishna. And Ladini. What is Ladini Shakti? Ladini Shakti is Radharani. So bhakti is a combination of Radha and Krishna. So these purports are Bhaktivedanta ecstasy. So when we read these purports, we become enlivened, inspired, enthused to serve Radha and Krishna. And we become filled with bhakti. And this is the conclusion of the Vedas. This is the purpose and the end of the Vedas. So therefore it's Vedanta. Therefore they're Bhaktivedanta purports. And he said, these purports are my devotional ecstasies. So Prabhupada was relishing so much ecstasy because he was seeing Radharani working through him. He was experiencing Radharani Thakurani. He was experiencing directly in his writing of these purports and his speaking Harikatha. He was actually experiencing directly the spurti of Radharani. Radharani Thakurani Kripaya Spurti. Kripa Spurti. The manifestation of Radharani's mercy was happening right in Prabhupada's hand and mouth as he was dictating these purports. Radharani was sitting on his tongue speaking. Just like we saw the play last night from Chopadi Beach of the Govinda Bhashya. Baladeva Vidyabhushan was just writing and he had spurti of Govindaji. Govindaji manifested to him in a spurti in Galta. Galta is outside of Jayapur. And then in spurti he was speaking to him. He was speaking verse by verse. The Sanskrit verses were being spoken in spurti in vision to Baladeva Vidyabhushan. He was writing down. And that became the natural, that became the Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And by writing that commentary, he established the bona fides of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. By writing that commentary, Baladeva Vidyabhushan established for all time that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are a bona fide Sampradaya. They're a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya. So in one sense, it's a new Sampradaya. And in a very strong sense, it's a fifth Sampradaya. The four Char Sampradaya are there. Now there's a Chaitanya Sampradaya, or the Nimai Sampradaya. And the authority of our Sampradaya was established by his Baladeva Vidyabhushan compiling this commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is known as Govinda Bhashya. Govinda Bhashya, it's called Sri Govinda Bhashya, the language written, what was written by Govinda Dev, Sri Govinda Dev. We say Sri Govinda Bhashya. The book is called Sri Govinda Bhashya. Because Govinda can't be separated from Sri. Sri is Srimati Radharani. So, the Govinda was speaking and Radharani was speaking. So, Sri Govinda Bhashya. This is the actual title of the book. Sri Govinda Bhashya Ki Jai. Now, two more leading verses before we hear the verse of the century. Everyone's waiting. Everyone's on the edge of their seat. What is this verse? It's an amazing introduction. Only by the mercy of Radharani was this verse manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri. It's like a great jewel. It's like sandalwood. The more you rub it, the more fragrant and meaningful it becomes. Kiva gora chandriya kare ashwadan iha ashwaditayara nahi chotajan. Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tasted the poetry of this verse. No fourth man is capable of understanding it. Oh, okay, well, now what? I thought you said the more we study it, you said shloka vichar, the more we consider it, the more we'll understand it. Well, that's a fact, but maybe we can't taste it. We can understand it. It says shloka vichar, but we can't ashwadite, ashwadan. Gaurachandra was tasting it. Because who can taste Radharani's love like Radharani? Gaurachandra is Radharani. And Radharani wrote the verse, so obviously the poet can taste his poetry more than anyone, because he's written it. It's his own rasa. The rasa of his heart is coming out as pen and taking shape of words. So certainly the poet, the rasika poet, he has more taste within him than the poem he writes. So how much taste he's relishing, and the poem is just one portion of taste from himself, produced from himself. This indicates that only Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are capable of understanding the purport of this verse. Sheshakale e shloka patite patite siddhi prapti haila purir shlokera sahite. Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again at the end of his material existence. Sheshkale. Sheshkale means time is up. Kala means time. Shesh means end. Time is up. Time to leave. A time of death. Thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. Siddhi prapti. Siddhi prapti haila purira shlokera sahite. Saha, with this verse, Saha, he attained Prapti Siddhi. He attained the Bhava of Srimati Radharani, he attained the mercy of Srimati Radharani, and he attained the eternal service of Srimati Radharani. This is Siddhi. This is Prem Siddhi. Bhakti Siddhi. It's not yoga. Of course, it's a type of yoga Siddhi. The highest yoga Siddhi. But it's not yoga Siddhi as we may think. Anima Siddhi, Lagima Siddhi, Prapti Siddhi. Kamaya Vasita Siddhi, Ishitva Siddhi. It's a different kind of. So now the verse. Are you ready? I'm sure you've heard this verse before. It's not a very. It's quite a known verse. Ai dina diardranata he maturanata kadava lokyase vidyam twaraloka kataram daita brahmyati kim karomyaham. Kim karomyaham. Kim karomi. We say kinkara. Ai nanda tanasha kinkaram. Kinkaram means kim karom. What can I do? Ai dina dayarja natta he matura natta kadava lokyase ridiyam twad aloka kataram daita brahmyati kim karom yaham. This is spoken by Srimati Radharani. Oh my Lord, oh most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? This is an extremely emotional outpouring of Radharani's broken heart when her Prananath, more Prananath, was mercilessly taken away by that merciless Akrura, that cruel uncle of Krishna named Akrura, which means not cruel, but he's actually so cruel that he took Krishna out of Vrindavan and never to return. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service and separation is the central theme of this verse by Madhavendra Puri. This is all said, when shall I see you again? Right? Kada, again this word kada, we're discussing in the Bhajan Rahasya. Nayanam garadashindaraya varanam garaya vriya gira pulakar nishidam pabu kada. Kada, when? When will I? So this, again, Radharani's in that same mood. As Radharani's in that mood of kada or when she spoke Shikshastakam in Gambira, chapter 20 of Matyalila. Now Radharani's in Vrindavan. Krishna's left to Mathura. Again, she's in this mood of separation, kada. When shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my heart is very agitated. I'm very unsteady. I'm about to collapse on the ground. Ridayam twad aloka kataram. Alok. Alok means not seeing, without seeing. Alok. Because lok means seeing. Kataram. Kataram means aggrieved. So this is all love and separation. Worship of Krishna and separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception of worshipping and separation, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus he addresses Krishna as Dina Dayardranath. Dina Dayardranath. Dina means poor, daya ardra, compassionate, nath, O master of the, O compassionate master of the poor. O compassionate master of the poor, I am most poor. Dina Bandhu, you are the friend of the Dina. Dina Bandhu, you are the friend of the poor. You are the master, Nath, compassionate master. Don't forget me, don't neglect me. So the devotee will address the Lord as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected and expressed herself thus, My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor, and you are very merciful. So kindly have compassion upon me, and let me know when I shall see you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing this ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishvara Puri, which we've been discussing. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. Hey Shloka Padite Prabhu, that's why they say Kapil Vriksha. He's a desire tree of this Vraja Prem, this Viraha Prem. It begins with this Kapil Vriksha tree, of wish fulfilling tree, Kapil Vriksha tree of Madhavendra Puri. Hey Shloka Paditi Prabhu, Haila Murchite, Premite Vishvashahana Padila Bhumite. Mahaprabhu recited this verse and suddenly fell to the ground unconscious, overwhelmed, and losing all control of himself. Of course, we've said this verse, but it hasn't really affected us like this. Because who is saying this verse? Who is Mahaprabhu? Radharani. And this verse is all about Krishna. So in this verse, there's so much Leela. There's Nam, Rup, Guna, and Leela. There's Mathuranath. He's saying, oh, Mathuranath, this Krishna's Rupam. Krishna's Nam and Rupam are there, Mathuranath. And he's saying, Dayardra. You're Dina Dayardra. You're Nath. You're my Nath. You're my Prananath. So there's Vrindavan Krishna's there, my Prananath. You're my Prananath. And you've left me. And I'm separated from you. So then Radharani, Mahaprabhu is Krishna and Mudra Radharani. When she repeats this verse, or he repeats this verse, immediately he enters the mood of Radharani, goes to Vrindavan, Krishna is just leaving, and then overwhelmed by remembering all those leelas, becomes too much ecstasy flooding the heart and just falls on the ground without losing all control. Aste vyasti kole kari Nila Nityananda Krandana Kari Atave Ute Gora Chandra. When Gora Chandra fell to the ground in ecstatic love, Nityananda quickly picked him up and put him on his lap. Crying, Mahaprabhu then got up again. Prema Maro Hailuti Iti Uti Dhai Hunkara Karaya Hase Kande Nachagai. Exhibiting ecstatic emotions, the Lord began to run here and there, making resounding noises, laughing, crying, dancing and singing. Aidina, 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 Bali Bharabar, Kante Na Nisarevhani, Netraya Shudhar. Mahaprabhu could not recite the whole verse. He simply said, Aidina, Aidina, repeatedly. Thus he could not speak and profuse tears were in his eyes. So this is due to the sattvic vikars, the astic sattvic bhavs, ashta sattvic bhavs have become so intense, his voice was choking up in transcendental love of God. Just like when he's dancing, Mahaprabhu is dancing in Rath Yatra before Jagannath in Rath Yatra, and he's trying to say Jai Jagannath. Everyone's saying, when you go to Puri to Rath Yatra, everyone's saying, Jagannath Swami Ki, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. And he's saying, everyone's saying, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. And he's saying, Jag, 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 Jag. Saying jagga 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 gaga gaga jagga. He couldn't say more. He couldn't even say the whole, couldn't say not or the whole word because of the overwhelming power of his ecstasy and separation and love for the Lord. Preman Madhu Haila, I said that. So he couldn't speak and his profuse tears were in his eyes. Kampa Shweta Pulakashu Stamba Vivaranya. Nirveda Vishara Jadya Garva Harsha Dainya. Trembling, perspiration, jubilant tears, shock, fading of the bodily luster, disappointment, moroseness, loss of memory, pride, joy, humility were all visible in Mahaprabhu. So these are all Ashtashatvik bhavs plus Sanchari bhavs. So much mixture and so much rust flowing through his mind and heart. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this word Jadya, which means stone-like or loss of memory, Jadya means loss of memory brought about by severe shock due to separation from the beloved. In this state of mind, one loses all concern for loss and gain, hearing and seeing, as well as all other considerations. This marks the preliminary appearance of illusion. In other words, Jadya, then followed by Moha. He shloka ugadhila premara kapat. Gopinatha Sevak Deke Prabhura Premanat. This verse of Madhavendrapuri, Ayidina Deyardanate, uncovered the door of ecstatic love. In other words, opened the door of ecstatic love. And when it was exhibited, all the servants of Gopinath, Kirchor Gopinath and Rimona, they saw Mahabhu dance in ecstasy. So this is the end of the story. Lord Chaitanya was praising Madhavendrapuri's pure devotional service, the extent of his endeavor to please the Lord, and then how austere he was and how renounced he was and the way he did bhajan alone and just depending on the Lord, never even thinking about eating or sleeping, only hearing and chanting, fully dedicated the order to the Lord and always feeling separation from Gopal even though Gopal came and brought him milk. And he installed the wonderful deity of Sri Gopal Nathji, who was living and residing in Natwara, Rajasthan. And then at the end of his life, he was totally absorbed in this, the mood of Radharani. He was in Radhabhav, totally absorbed in Radharani's Mahabhav. And a Mahabhav, 1 second without the Lord feels like a millennium. And when you're with the Lord for millions of years in the Rasa dance, it passes by in 1 second. Fantastic amounts of time in Sambhog with the Lord, in presence of the Lord, enjoying intimately with the Lord, seems to fly by in a second. Even the day of Brahma, which is millions of years of the Rasa night, Rasa dance at night. And then when one's separated, even for a Namesha, it feels like a yuga. Even a moment without the Lord, even a blink of an eye without the Lord, even when the eye blinks and one cannot see the Lord for the blink of an eye, one feels as if the whole world has come to a crashing halt. One feels everything is devastated and annihilated and meaningless and empty. Yugayatam, nirvish, shunyayatam, shunyayatam jagat sarvam. The whole universe is shunya, void, empty. Black space, black hole in space, everywhere black holes in space. Emptiness, voidness, silence. Everywhere silence. No color, no variety, no sound. Total void, shunya, without Krishna for a moment. These are the symptoms of Mahabhav. And Radharani has Mahabhav in the highest feature. It's called Madanaki Mahabhav. So this is the mood that Madhavendrapuri was remembering and identifying very much with the heart of Radharani. And this is always, was always his mood throughout his devotional life. And when he initiated Ishwarpuri, this bhava, his heart's bhava was mixed in a diksha mantra that he gave Ishwarpuri. The 10-syllable mantra, Om Gopi Vallabhaya Swaha, Om Gopi Jana Vallabhaya Swaha. And that mantra was given to Ishwarpuri, and then Ishwarpuri gave that mantra to Madhavan, to Sriman Mahaprabhu, 10-syllable Gopal mantra. And that mantra was full of this Viraha Prem, this Radharani's Mahabhav. So this is the wealth of our Sampradaya. This is the great wealth of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, this wealth of Radharani's Viraha, Hara Mahabhav, And this is being distributed through the Parampara Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this mood of separation, hankering for Krishna, Hey Radhe, Rajadevi Keja Lalite, Hey Nanda Sunukuta. Everyone, all the great acharyas and guardians of devotion are pushing us in this direction, search for Krishna, questing for Krishna, hankering for Krishna, Krishna Kahan, Krishna Kahan. Where are you, Krishna? Where are you, Krishna? Are you in this syllable Ha, or are you in this syllable Re? Are you in this syllable Krish, or are you in this syllable Na? Are you in this syllable Ra or Ma? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I know in one, are you hiding inside of this H? Are you hiding inside of the A? Are you hiding inside of the R? Are you hiding inside of the E? Are you hiding inside of the K? Are you hiding inside of the R? S, N, A, R? Where are you? Krishna, I know you're there. Your form is in your name, and your qualities are in your form, and your leelas are in your form. Will you reveal yourself to me? When? Kada? When, oh when will the day be mine? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Self-abnegation, a mood of service, chanting with a mood of service. I want to serve, I want to serve, I want to serve. I want nothing for myself, nothing of this world, nothing from friends, family, body, mind, senses, nature. Nothing, your service, everywhere. Everywhere your service everywhere. And then questing, searching, Krishna, where are you? This is a very wonderful story, Madhavendra Puri, and we can try to memorize this verse. It's given here in Adi Lila, chapter 4, verse 197. 197. Ayi dina diyarjanat tehe mataranat kadava lokise ridiyam twada loka kataram daita brahmiti kim karomyaham. Kim karomyaham. Karomyaham. I'm standing before you with folded hands, Premanjali. My heart is in my hands are Anjali, my prema is my heart. I'm holding my heart in my hands, Premanjali. I'm standing before you, my Lord, and I'm begging you, Kim Karomi, what may I do for you? How may I serve you? And that mood of Kim Karomi is called Kinkarbhav. Kinkarbhav is male and Kinkaribhav is female. Kinkari Bhav means Kinkari. Kinkari means Palidasi, Manjari. Nitya Sakhi, Pran Sakhi of Radharani. So this is the Gaudiya teachings, to become a Kinkari of Radharani. Become a surrendered, protected maidservant of Radharani. Always awaiting to serve Radharani, just like we see in Ram Leela, the famous Dasirati Sabha, or Dasirati Sarup, Hanuman. He's kneeling down beside Lord Ram in a classic pose. Sita's there, Lakshman's there, and Hanuman's kneeling down. They're all sitting on, Lakshman's standing, and Sita and Ram are sitting on the singhasan. Lakshman's on the other side. Right hand side, Hanuman is kneeling. He's not kneeling exactly. He's just crouched down. He's crouched down like a monkey. He's a monkey, but he's ready to spring. If a spring is extended, then it doesn't have any power. But if you compress this, or contract, or compress this spring, then all the energy of the springs is compressed and potential. It's ready to be kinetic. It's ready to expand and express. Boing! So Hanuman has compressed all of his devotional energy. He's compressed and contracted all of his seva bhav into his rupam, into his dasya sarupam. So he's crouched down next to the Lord with folded hands. You see this classic. So he's crouched down. He's not kneeling, because kneeling is prarthana. And kneeling is difficult to get on your feet. He's on his feet. His feet are planted on the ground, and his knees are bent. So the spring, his coils and springs of dasya rati are compressed. And he's folding, his heart is in his hand, Premanjali. And he's looking at Lord Ram. I'm ready, my Lord. Kim Karomi, how may I serve you? Please give me your order, your seva agya, your order of seva. Because as soon as you give me your order, boing! I will spring to action. They have this phrase in English. Okay, spring to action. So Hanuman is the proverbial spring, ready to act, from Treta Yuga and Ram Leela. So this is the mode of Kinkari. A Kinkari and Krishna Leela, we don't come as monkeys and Krishna Leela to assist Ram, we come as mandris to assist Radha. Monkeys to assist Ram, monkey becomes Manjari. Monkey, Manjari. And even Prabhupada told Narayamraj in Bengali, when he's leaving this world, he told Narayamraj in his room, he said, this is in Bengali conversation, so no one will understand. He said, Srila Prabhupada said, Narayamraj, like Ramachandra, I have collected so many monkeys. Means his disciples, means me. Prabhupada saying, Narayamraj, I've collected so many monkeys like Ram to make an army to conquer Ravana. And I've gone across the ocean. I've taken all these monkeys and gone across the ocean. And like monkeys, they're always jumping around and misbehaving. So after I'm gone, if somehow or other you can look after these monkeys. So the monkeys engaged in the service of Ram have become Manjaris engaged in the service of Radha. Not Rama, but Radha. So we are those monkeys, and cousin monkeys, and uncle monkeys, and nephew monkeys. So may we jump for the service of Radha. May we spring into action for the pleasure of Radha. And may we ever be waiting with Premanjali, folded hands, crouched down beside our Guru Manjari, beside our Guru Sakhi, crouched down, full of Dasya Rati, full of Kinkari Bhav, full of the mood of surrender and humility, and ready to spring into action for whatever Agya our Guru gives us, and Guru Agya, or the Seva of Radharani in the groves of Vrindavan. So tomorrow, we start a new story. This is from Madhyalila, chapter 4. This is Sri Chaitanya. Oh, I said that. This is from chapter 6. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's faith in Mahaprasad. I look forward to that one. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's faith in Mahaprasad. Of course, we also have faith. We may not have faith in a lot of things. Faith, we may not have Shuddha Shraddha and Nam, or Shuddha Shraddha and Shastra, or Vaishnavas. But at least I hope so, that we have pure faith, Shuddha. There's Shraddha Bhas, or Shraddha Bhas, a semblance called Shraddha Bhas in Jiva Dharma, a semblance of faith, a particle of faith. And hopefully we have pure faith in Mahaprasadam. If not, then after hearing this story, we will.